Thank you very much, Christian, for reading that scripture. I don't know if you had a chance to glance over at Christian's parents as he was reading. Cameron was looking like, making sure, all right, he's going to get this right. And of course, the mom's just beaming the whole time, smiling. I heard once before that you should never preach a sermon directed at a certain person or maybe a couple people specifically. Like, don't go in mind preparing and preaching a sermon with, you know, someone that you're thinking about that they need to hear this. And I took that to heart, and I don't. You know, you preach God's word, and it's going to hit who it needs to hit, which is everyone. And so I don't do that, except I kind of did that a little bit today, and I think I learned one of the reasons why you don't do that. We're honoring our graduates today after service, and there'll be a meal afterwards, and so you're invited to join in and celebrate our high school graduates, Rachel and Andrew, and also we had a college graduate who I have not had the opportunity to meet, Sam, I believe. Awesome. And so we're going to honor them today with that. And so, yeah, I kind of had in mind, you know, to do a sermon that kind of went along with that, you know, kind of towards the youth. It applies to everyone, no matter how old you are, but with in mind the youth. And so I was thinking about those specific young folks in our audience, and then all of a sudden they all got up and left. Did you notice? Because they're all preparing, they're going to help serve today, and they're not even in here. And so that's why you don't prepare a sermon for someone, because then they're probably not even going to be there to hear it. So if you have a kid over there, you're going to have to make them listen to this, because this is who it was intended for. We're going to be in some different places this morning. We'll be in Psalm chapter 24, 1 Timothy chapter 4, Matthew 6. All of those will be up on the screen, so you don't have to worry about flipping there. We'll have those on the screen for you. But we'll also be in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, and I don't have that up on the screen. So if you have your Bible and you want to open up to 2 Chronicles chapter 34, you can go ahead and do that now. I said 2 Chronicles, all right, not 2 Corinthians. Some years ago, I would pick up these high school boys, and after school, I'd pick them up, and we'd go grab a bite to eat, and then we were all taking a Bible class together in the evening, and it was 1 and 2 Corinthians, and we were about 7 weeks into the class or so, and we're sitting there, and, you know, I'm kind of next to these boys. I'm like, man, I'm real proud of these guys. They've made the commitment, you know. They've been coming and doing this, and I'm sitting next to this one guy, and he was just kind of a big kid, and I look over, and I look down at his Bible, and it's at 2 Chronicles. And I said, hey, Timon, I shouldn't have said his name. I said, hey, where you at in the Bible? He's like, yeah, right here, 2 Chronicles. I said, we're doing 2 Corinthians. Now, mind you, this has been about 7 or 8 weeks. We've been doing this. I said, well, where's, no, 2 Corinthians. I said, oh, no wonder this wasn't making any sense. Said, oh. So don't make that mistake. We're in 2 Chronicles this morning. All right, chapter 34. But we are talking about seeking God. And beginning to seek God. And so I hope I got these. Oh, I do. That's great. Psalm 24, 1 through 6. There's a few more verses tacked on at the end, but I'm only doing 1 through 6. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. That's enough right there. The earth is the Lord's. If you ever forget, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. That's a good place to start when it comes to wisdom. Right, everything's God's. He founded it. He established it. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Who may go into the presence of God, it's saying? Who may go into the temple? Who's the one that can go before God? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. That's who goes before God. One who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. Well, that font just got a lot smaller there. They will receive blessings from the Lord and vindication from God, their Savior. Get this. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. That's who can go before God, right? You have clean hands. You have a clean heart, pure heart. You're not chasing the idols of this world. You're not following after them. That's the generation that seeks God. Okay, I want to talk about that this morning, because you don't get there by accident, right? You're not walking along and all of a sudden you're right where you want to be on the path to following Jesus. It doesn't work that way. You have to start to seek him. You have to start taking those steps in that direction. So I want to look at that. We're in 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Like I said, I don't have it up on the board,
but hopefully you have it in front of you in the Bible. 2 Chronicles 34, Chronicles, of course, Chronicles, the stories of the kings and the things that they were going. It follows along right in line, for the most part, with 1 and 2 Kings. There are some differences, of course. But I want to look at Josiah, okay, because Josiah comes into power when he's 8 years old. And the nation of Israel has not been following God for like over 50 years before him, okay? So 50 years, things have been horrible. Idol worship, no one's practicing the sacrifices or celebrating Passover or doing anything that they're supposed to be doing. They're chasing after other gods, the gods of the nations around them. And the Bible says in chapter 34, verse 1 of 2 Chronicles, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. 8 years old. That's a lot of pressure to put on a young man. I'm sure he had people around him that would help him with that, but he's 8 years old. He reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He's not like some of these other kings, most of those other kings, who would do what was wrong in the eyes of the Lord. He actually did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. David would not have been his actual biological father. It would have been more like a great-great-great-grandfather. He did not turn aside to the right or to the left. All right? So we have a young man, Josiah, becomes king, and he wants to please God. He wants to do what is right. Listen to verse 3. In the 8th year of his reign. So that makes him, if my math is correct, and believe me, I've counted on my fingers multiple times at the kitchen table, make sure I had this, 16 years old. Right? 16 years old. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. He began to seek God. He took the wisdom of the psalm and began to seek God as a young man. You are king. Whatever you want can be yours. And you're 16 years old. That can go very poorly, can it? You know, there's a lot of times you hear stories about child movie stars, right? And their stories are always very, very sad. They're, you know, you're put in a position with a lot of influence and a lot of sway and money. I've always said, you know, if you have nothing but time and money, you're in a bad, bad spot because, you know, you're going to find bad things. Josiah wasn't like that, right? Even though he had so many different things at his disposal, he wanted to do right. And when he was 16, instead of looking to please himself or please others around him, he decided to seek God when he was 16 years old. How long does it take once you start that journey? I think it's different for everyone, of course. But if you're Josiah, you got to run a country, so I'm sure there's a lot of work there, things you have to do. But he starts when he's 16, and the next sentence says, in the 12th year of his, in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places. He started when he was 8 years into his reign, he was 16, 12 years into his reign, so he's now 20. So for 4 years, he's been seeking God. Right? 4 years. And of course, he would have had whatever wisdom would have been there for him, whatever writings would have been available. A lot of it was lost. We find that out later in chapter 34. So it probably wouldn't have been as quick as if he had had all the writings there. But when he's 20 years old, he decides to purge Israel of all the false gods and the false idols that are there. Right? Because if you're going to have those, like the psalmist said in chapter 24 Psalm, you can't go before God if you're looking following after false gods and idols. Read what he did. Verse 3. In the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, Asherah poles, carved idols, and cast images. Under his direction, the altars of the Baals were torn down. He cut to pieces the incense altars that were above them and smashed the Asherah poles, the idols, and the images. These he broke to pieces and scattered over the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He burned the bones of the priests on their altars, and so he purged Judah and Jerusalem. In the towns of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, as far as Naphtali, and in the ruins around them, he tore down the altars of the Asherah poles and crushed the idols to powder and cut to pieces all the incense altars throughout Israel. Then he went back to Jerusalem. This would not have been an easy thing to do. This would have been a very unpopular thing to do. To go against the wave of the culture, to go against what people were practicing and doing and desiring, and to say, I'm not allowing this. He went against the grain. He was able to do that, I think, because he had been seeking God for the last 4 years. The difference this man made for his nation and for his people was huge. All because when he was 16 years old, he began to seek God. When he was 16 years old, I don't know if he ever thought that one day he would be tearing down the Asherah poles and the place, the high places and the incense altar. I don't know if he knew he was going to be doing that. He may not have had any idea where it was going to take him. And that's how it is. When you begin to seek God, you don't know where it's going to take you. You have no idea. That's why we step out in faith. We start to walk down that path. Let God lead us. So he's 20 years old and he starts to purge Israel. Now Israel's ready, right? Now Israel's ready. If you go on and you read in verse 8, in the 18th year of Josiah's reign, right? So 6 years later from when he starts to do this, now he decides it's time to rebuild the temple because it had been left to ruin. They've been putting all their emphasis and all the attention on all these other places. Well, they no longer exist. They've been torn down and crushed and destroyed. And he says, now we're going to repair the temple of the Lord. And they start this. And while doing this, they find the book of the law. You can read about it in the story throughout the chapter in 34. And he goes on to celebrate the Passover with his people. That's how far they had gotten away. Because one young man decided to start to seek God. It changed the narrative of Israel, at least for that time. Right? It's an amazing story of what a young person can do and the difference they can make when they begin to see God. I wish the high schoolers were in here to listen. You know, 16, that's a good age to start. Any time's a good age to start. 16 or 60. It doesn't matter, right? To seek God. For those that have just graduated, you're looking ahead and you know, you think, okay, well, what's next for me? It's interesting that this happened in an increment of 4 years. That's kind of how we do high school. Some of us, it's a little bit longer, you know, but 4 years, right? Where am I going to be in 4 years? And if you're a freshman, you're thinking, well, I'll be graduating. Or you just graduated and you think, hopefully I'm graduating college. And you're thinking about, oh, I'd like, well, you graduated college. Well, where's my, you know, job and wife and career and where am I going to live? And all these questions. And I think before all those, you should be asking yourself, am I seeking God? That's where your attention should be. Right? Am I seeking God? Let's see. What I got next here, Matthew chapter 6. Because this is common to ask these questions. You know, the things of this world that we live in, the day-to-day stuff. I mean, these are important things, right? It's a part of, I mean, I'm not trying to make light of any of that. You know, where you're going to live and your job and providing. I mean, these are all important things. Jesus, I believe, speaks to this in chapter 6 of Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, don't store for yourself treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Skipped a few verses and on to 24. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve both God and money. What are you seeking? Whether you just graduated high school or you're looking to retire, what are you seeking? Because you can't do both. Continuing, it says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labor, they don't spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You have little faith. So don't worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Now, keep in mind here, he's speaking to these people on the Sermon on the Mount when he's saying this. We take this, and we kind of say, don't worry about what you're going to wear. Because when I look into my closet, oh, man, what am I going to wear today? You know? For these people, it might have been differently, like, oh, man, you know, worrying about what you wear, this cloth is wearing out. I need to repair the patches. Or what am I going to eat? Do I want... You know, what do I want? Do I want barbecue today? Do I want seafood? What do I want to eat today? That's how we worry. He's speaking to people that are worrying if they're going to eat that day. Right? They really had something to worry about. And he says, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Your Father knows you need them. Instead, He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That's what you need to be seeking, his kingdom and his righteousness. And all those other things are going to be taken care of. All these others will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And so it's easy to look out into the next few years and say, where's it going to come from? Am I going to have enough? Am I going to, happiness and relationships and worry about all these things? And Jesus says, no, seek me. Seek God. That is more important. And when you start to seek God, where will it take you? How far will you go with it? Will you be like Josiah, where a nation is changed? We talk about, especially when we talk to young people, about, be the change you want to see, and you can change the world, and that's said a lot, and a lot of it's talked about in a sense of, starting companies and things like this. And, these things are good. These are not bad things, but they can become bad things. We who profess a faith in Jesus Christ need to be seeking Him first. What an amazing change, a more powerful change when people's hearts are turned to Jesus Christ. That will cause that will be a change that this world needs. And so I'm saying this, and of course, I don't want the older folks to hear this and think, he's speaking to the youth. No, I mean, this is all of us. Jesus was not speaking to the youth when he said these words here, right? Josiah was young and was wise enough to start when he was 16 to seek the Lord. Some of us, it takes longer. I was not 16 when I began to seek the Lord. It took me longer. And I had no idea that I would ever end up to where I was. It's interesting when we look at people that we kind of see, if you were to probably talk to most preachers or people who you look up and say, they're leaders in the faith or something, and you kind of just assume that they were just always that way, right? When you look back in history and you see great spiritual leaders, men of faith, women of faith, you just kind of think, oh, they're just born that way. But I guarantee you they weren't. Somewhere along the line, they made a choice to start seeking God. Probably most of them don't feel adequate enough to be in the position that they're in. But they say, I'm going to choose God. It was much like that with Gideon. When the angel comes to visit Gideon, he's hiding for fear of the Midianites. And God says, I'm going to use you. And he says, I'm the least in my family. My family's the least in our tribe. Who am I? But God uses him. Because it's not about our power, right? So, young people that aren't in here, you guys over there, right? Begin now to seek God. Maybe it's a few weeks, maybe it's a few months, maybe it's a few years. Where will you be 4 years from now when you start to seek God? What will He be doing with you? How far will He take you? The possibilities are endless. Maybe you're still in the same city, in the same town, in the same home, in the same church, or maybe you're on the other side of the world. We have no idea. But that is much more important and much more necessary than the other things that we usually seek instead. Seek God, His kingdom, and His righteousness. And I'm sorry, Dan, you said talk long today, and I'm not. I'm almost done. I apologize. Normally I do, I'll go way too long. Not today. Because I want some of that food over there. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. In fact, the opposite of that, set an example for believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. You see someone who's 80 years old and they're walking in the footsteps of Jesus, and a lot of us think it takes that long to get there, doesn't it? And we think, well, I got time. I'm not there yet, but one day when I get older, that's kind of the mentality we have a lot. Paul told Timothy, no, you're young. You can still and should set the example in faith, in speech, in love, in how you act, in purity. It's not go out there and sow your wild oats. You're young. Now's the time to live it up. No, set the example in purity. Because if the young are living the way God wants them to live, then the older people need to look at, oh, wow, then I really better need to step up my game, right? Choose to seek. It does not happen by accident. You may not be where you want to be right now, but unless you start to turn your eyes towards Jesus and follow in his footsteps, you're never going to get there. Let him use you. Trust in him enough to walk in that path. Now's the time that we offer an invitation. You can come down here and start walking in those steps of Jesus. Start walking in the path that he has for you to follow. To say, Jesus, I want to be where you want me to be. I don't know where that is. I don't know what that looks like. I want to be more pure. I want to be more righteous. I want the words that come out of my mouth to sound like the words coming out of your mouth. These are the things I want. It starts with a step, right? You can make that step now. You can be baptized into Jesus Christ, into his body, into the kingdom if you haven't made that decision. And begin to seek God today. And just be amazed at what he's going to do with you. We offer that invitation now as we stand and sing.